This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Well, it's a family time of year, isn't it?
It is a family time of year. I'm feeling a little bit stressed, Hal.
Yeah.
Because we need to be getting ready for the holidays, mm-hmm. and our kitchen is still torn up.
We're working on that.
Well, it's still torn up.
Okay. Yeah.
And, yeah, we're replacing our kitchen floor. Y'all, this is a bad thing to do in the fall.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, and we're
Be that as it may.
The kitchen's still torn up, Hal. And we are trying to get that done, trying to get ready for the holidays, and also getting ready for Christmas sales.
And our porch is full of boxes from the Postal Service waiting to be filled with all kinds of exciting stuff.
Yeah, we've got some exciting new stuff. I can't wait for people to see. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So we hope you'll stick around with us and check out some of these things as they are announced. But what do we want to talk about this time, speaking of families? We want to talk about new families. We want to talk about the process of beginning a family, actually going back to the process of finding a mate. And that comes to the never-ending question. The first question of homeschoolers, is it legal? Second, are kids going to be weird? Third, how are they going to find a mate? Well, I mean, honest to goodness, isn't it? I mean, this has been a controversy since I think we first considered the question of homeschooling.
Well, I remember listening to cassette tapes, that's how long ago this was, about dating versus courtship at least 25 years ago. May have been more.
Long time ago.
Maybe more. It has been a controversy. It's been a huge controversy. And it doesn't seem to be working well. You know, when I look at the world, okay?
Yeah.
The world has switched with the new app-based dating. And yeah. I was just reading an article about that today.
Yeah.
To a hookup kind of culture with very little interpersonal interaction, kind of the extreme of dating.
Okay.
You know, where it doesn't even involve people getting to know one another,
mm-hmm.
but just wrongful sexual activity.
Right.
And that's not working.
Yeah.
People in the world aren't getting married.
Right.
You know, the vast majority are living together before they get married. They're not getting married till they're 30 in a lot of cases for guys.
Yeah, that's right. Those numbers continue to climb.
The problem is, Hal, that what we were promised was the perfect alternative, the courtship culture isn't really working either. Because, well, you know, we were at a conference this past week, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw a ton of unmarried 20-somethings and 30-somethings.
And, you know, the way that we were kind of led to think when we were reading those things, listening to those cassette tapes, was kind of like, if you put a male and a female person in the room and you don't forcibly restrain them, they're going to be like magnets and they're just going to click. And we're just finding that that's not really the case. A lot of young adults just don't seem to click.
No.
At all.
No. And so neither system is leading toward marriage. And marriage is a good thing.
Well, it's ordained by God, and it's something that the Bible tells us that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And there's all kinds of things in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, very words of Jesus that talk about marriage as a tremendous blessing. But, you know, for us as parents, that a lot of that is, we get to the question of process, because we look at what's happening in the culture around us, and we think, well, that's not what we are training our kids to do. Well, what should we do? And, you know, let's be honest. When we read a lot of these things, I mean, we came through the typical Christian kind of dating sort of culture that was conditioned by lots of Archie and Betty and Veronica type of stories in the high school. And you know, and so
could not disagree with you.
You
more.
Don't think so? You don't?
No.
I mean, that's what we were.
What we saw around us.
Well, that's what we saw around us when we were in middle school, high school. That's not what we did. No, I don't mean you and me, but I mean like...
Well, you said, what about us?
Okay, well, our generation, let's say. Right. Our generation of Christian young people.
I'll grant you that.
That's what I was intending. Excuse me. One must define terms.
But, you know, the current generation of Christian young people, I talked to a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, I remember talking to one fine young man.
Yeah.
He'd make somebody a fantastic husband.
Mm-hmm.
But when I encouraged him to talk to young women, to get to know them, to become friends, he was terrified to do that.
He was scared of girls?
Well, he was so afraid that he would make a mistake or give someone a wrong impression or lead them on. And you know, his intentions were entirely honorable, but he was so afraid he would make a mistake, he wasn't doing anything at all.
And what did you tell him?
Well, I told him, if you don't ever show interest, I promise you nothing bad will happen and neither will anything good.
Right. Yeah. Sad truth. Well, we've talked about some of these things in other episodes, you know, particular aspects of this, but I'd like to just kind of take a big overview of this whole question of what does the Bible tell us about the process of finding your wife, of finding your husband?
Because that's what we're hearing. We hear mm-hmm. people saying, this is the biblical process.
I want to follow the biblical pattern. Well, can I tell some stories?
Sure.
I like to tell some stories. Okay, here's some stories. All right, young man. You are ready to get married. You've reached that age and you think, yeah, I want to have a wife. I want to have a family. I'm ready. And your dad is a wealthy businessman. And so he says, son, don't worry about it. I've got this. We'll take care of it. And so he sends his executive vice president to travel back east to the old homeland where you all came from and to look around among your extended family for a suitable cousin that you can marry. And when he negotiates with the family to figure out if this is the right thing, seal the deal with a package of jewelry and bring the girl back for the wedding. Okay? How's that for a pattern? Because that is exactly how Isaac met Rebecca.
It is.
In Genesis 24. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Or let's say you're the manager of a beautiful tropical resort.
Oh, that sounds great.
One night you sleep harder than usual.
Mm, yeah.
And when you wake up, you've got a scar.
Oh, weird.
Scar in your chest.
Strange.
Someone has operated on you when you didn't know it.
Hmm.
And you look up, and there she is, your wife, right there before you.
Right there. And you know, just as soon as you see her, you know, this is the one woman in the world for me. And then I think the next part of dialogue is, madam, I'm Adam. Because that was Adam and Eve, right? I mean, that's... That Adam went to sleep, and God created a wife for him, and okay, that's an example from Genesis 2.
But I think that if you wait around right now mm-hmm. for God to create a wife for you, you're going to be waiting the rest of your life.
Well, if you're waiting for that kind of creation, I think maybe there's a different process underway right now. Okay, this is my favorite. This is my favorite biblical pattern. I love this. Okay, let's say that there's a mega church in the next county over, and they're having a big holiday celebration. And so you go, young man, you go stand in the wings there backstage. And when the worship team comes off stage, you snag one of the girls out of the praise chorus and whisk her away to the courthouse and let the elders of the church settle things with their parents after you leave.
That really happened, Hal.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, we could make that happen. There's so many opportunities in the homeschooling culture that you can, I mean, there's pastors in the audience. We can make this happen.
But they don't believe it really happened. It happened in Shiloh.
Yes.
Judges 21. Look it up. It happened.
Judges 21. Now, okay, why do we bring this up? Because people are saying, I want to follow the biblical pattern. These are just three patterns in Scripture. And it's interesting that these accounts are given in great detail without any sort of commentary that says, and God was displeased, or and this was a great sin, or and so you must also do, young person. No, there's none of that. It's just like, it's almost as if God recorded all of these different examples of people finding their mates, from arranged marriages to the young people met and decided they wanted to wed or whatever. The whole range of experiences out there, it's almost as if God was saying, you have a choice. You have some freedom here.
Well, there's some biblical principles here, because mm-hmm. where we have commandment, that is not debatable. We have to obey the commandment.
Absolutely right.
But God has left some matters to us as Christian liberty. Well, you know, it says we can celebrate mm-hmm. holidays or not celebrate holidays.
Yeah, you can eat meat, you can eat vegetables, whatever. I mean, culture is real. Time and place and culture and customs. You know, if the Scripture doesn't specify something, then, you know, those other things are real things to take into account. And so all of those, okay, all of those kind of examples, none of them would I recommend in 21st century America.
No.
Although they would be biblical, but I would not. I'd say, young people, don't set your sights on this experience.
No. Or like Ruth and Boaz, I would not recommend my daughter go to a man and crawl under his blanket.
Yeah, curl up around his feet while he's asleep
But,
okay.
You know,
This is not to make fun of Scripture.
No, it's to say that there is not a biblical pattern. There are principles. And where there are principles, there's application. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be careful when there's principles that we're applying from Scripture, not to fall into one ditch or the other.
In other words, you know, that if you picture the highway of God's holiness, the path he would have us to drive, that there's a ditch on one side, which is legalism. It's all additional commandments and rules of men and really a bondage situation. On the other side, there's a cliff with no guardrail, and that's like the total license. God doesn't care because we live in an age of grace and we can do whatever we feel like. And both of those are traps.
Well, Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be.
Exactly.
And so we've got to stay out of the ditch of license and the ditch of legalism.
Right.
And yet the church tends to drive from one ditch to the other.
We tend to swing back and forth on a pendulum kind of thing.
I remember speaking about this topic one time, and one of the very early courtship speakers came up afterwards and said, I really appreciate you guys sticking to the Word of God. He said, we were reacting to something in the culture, and we went too far. We drove straight from the ditch of legal license into the ditch of legalism.
And so you're still in a ditch.
You're still in a ditch.
And so...
So let's talk about this. What does the Bible say? Because that really is our guide for faith and practice.
To the law and to the testimony, it says in Isaiah 8. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, then it is because they do not have the light. They do not have the dawn. Okay, so what does the Scripture tell us? A first principle, here's one, and this everybody should agree on this. Honor your father and your mother. Isn't that there? That's in the Ten Commandments. It's repeated in the New Testament. Very clear. We are to honor our father and our mother.
Now, you know, it's important to recognize that in both Ephesians and
Colossians,
it tells children to obey their father and mother.
Children obey, and all of us of all ages honor.
So what's the difference?
Well, I think the difference is simply that children are meant to follow the direction of their parents. But parents, I think, should not expect that sort of, you know, rigid obedience from adult children, you know, quote children. They're adult sons and daughters who are adults standing on their own by this time.
Who are capable of studying the Word of God themselves, of following Christ themselves.
Who are responsible to do that.
Who are following the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And yet, you know, I was talking to a young woman in her 30s the other day. Who is living in her parents' household, and she said, well, you know, that doesn't really, I should still obey, right, because I'm living in this household. You should obey the household rules of anyone you're staying with. You should show them that honor and respect.
Yeah.
But is a 30-year-old to obey like a 3-year-old? I don't think so.
Are they expected to be directed and commanded by their parents? No, I don't think so, biblically speaking.
Because where does it end? When she's 65?
Yeah, what if she never marries? Poor girl, she's always going to be a child?
No.
No. Okay, so, but it is unmistakable that we are all to honor our father and mother. And so that would say that even our romantic relationship, we should listen for their advice. We should seek out their counsel.
Even if they don't know the Lord, we should show them the respect and honor of hearing what they have to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom out there that's common to all of humanity through common grace. Yes.
But so honor your father and mother, listen to them, get them involved in the process, take their advice as much as you're able to within the Word of God. Listen to them.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Now that's one principle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's one that's unmistakable. We are to flee sexual immorality. Okay. The culture's saying, hey, this is just part of the whole process of linking up forever. If you decide to do that and your sexual activity is part of that discovery process, and the Scriptures say, no, flee this. Okay. We're not to engage in fornication or any sort of illicit sexuality at all.
It says God will judge those.
God
who do
says
that.
They will judge this, and I do not want to be judged by God. We don't want to be guilty of that. So that's unmistakable. That sex is reserved for marriage or after marriage, and only after marriage. And so we don't, you know, this is not part of the dating, courtship, developmental type process.
No, and okay. You know, I've been kind of shocked as I've watched some modern TV shows and movies that. It seems to be assumed that I was watching something the other day, and it's like they were arguing because they'd been dating a month and had not had intercourse yet. And I'm like, what on earth?
Goodness gracious.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
You know, but the world has gone so far the other direction. Like they expect you're going to sleep together. You're going to live together long before you're married. If you're ever married, That's not possible. The Christian has to stay on the other side of that.
Okay, and so
let's talk about some more principles in just a minute. We need a station break, Al.
Yes, we do. And you know what? This is if you're listening to this with great interest, I bet it's because you have a teenager or a preteen in your household, and you suddenly realize this is an issue that's going to be on the front burner real quickly. And you know what? If you've got a preteen or a middle schooler, you really need to know about schoolhouseteachers.com because this is a tremendous resource when you get into that very, very busy time of your homeschooling life and you need a boost along the way. You need some resources, a second voice, an explanation that maybe you couldn't pull out of your memory, or you just need a little bit of respite when you're dealing with the younger kids. Schoolhouseteachers.com is a resource.
Over 300 courses. Mm-hmm. Check it out. There's going to be a link on the show page.
Yep.
Schoolhouseteachers.com is sponsoring this broadcast.
And we thank them for it. Okay, so all right, unmistakably biblical principles about forming a relationship, about seeking a wife or a husband, honor your father and your mother, flee immorality. You know, one of the things that we're seeing, and I'm really kind of concerned about a little bit, there's a couple other principles that I see in family relationships in Scripture. One of them is right there in Genesis chapter 2, when Adam and Eve are brought together as the first couple, it said that a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. That there's, you know what, there needs to be a separation between the adult in the relationship versus the parents. You know, the honor is there, but the idea that, hey, when this couple gets married, they stand on their own. They stand before God. Father and mother counsel, encourage, help where they can, but they're not to be directing them and controlling their lives any longer.
Well, another principle that I don't hear talked about very much is it 1 Timothy that Timothy is commanded to treat the younger women as sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I was noticing at this conference that we were at with a lot of single young people.
Right.
They weren't talking. I didn't see young women and young men conversing and discussing.
Mm-mm.
You know, they were in separated groups, and someone even mentioned that they'd been taught to never interact individually.
And, what? You know what? And see, there's something there that I see when Paul is counseling young Timothy, who is a missionary pastor, and he says it, in that passage where he talks about, you know, don't rebuke the older men, but, you know, treat them as fathers. And he goes on down the list. When he gets to the young women, he says, treat the younger women as sisters in all purity. And that, you know what, 1 Timothy 5:2, the question that arises is, how does a brother interact with a sister?
He talks to her. He interacts with her. He has a relationship.
Always with a chaperone?
No.
With great fear and trembling and distance?
No.
No.
A collegial relationship.
A friendship.
And, you know, I am very, very concerned about the people that are being taught that they should not be friends with members of the opposite sex. That they should not, because I think that's the very best way to start a relationship, that you want to know what somebody really thinks. And if you only hear if you only interact with them in a group, you only hear what they want the group to know.
And we've heard more than one case where a couple had gone pretty far down the road toward marriage before they actually were given the privacy to have a one-on-one conversation that wasn't being, you know, monitored by parents on both sides or in a big, large group situation where they could really get down and say, well, what do you really believe about this topic or that topic? Or what are your real desires and goals in life? You know, what do you see in family life? Because sometimes sometimes people, you know, have something that they don't really want to be public discussion.
Yes.
You know, that they hold a view, and it may be a radically good view. It may be a radically bad view, but you need to know that.
You know, another verse, another principle from Scripture I don't hear discussed much is that a man should be prepared to provide for his own. And I hear this in a way. I hear people saying, oh, well, you know, a young man should build up a bank account and everything before he gets married. But I also, mm-hmm. I don't see people preparing their kids to be adults.
Well, we keep running across people about people who are not encouraging their young folks to get a driver's license. They're not, you know, encouraging them to take on responsibilities outside of their home or their church environment.
Yeah.
They're not, they don't seem to be coaching them on choosing a career path or maybe considering higher education, if that's even a possibility. It just seems like they're raising successful teenagers, but they're kind of stopping at that threshold.
Yeah.
There.
You need to be aiming at being an independent adult if you want to get married.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to do that. Women and men, you need to learn how to make decisions,
yes.
Manage money,
right?
You know, can handle your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it all comes down to, though, Hal, is
uh-huh.
that there's a wide range of what is acceptable in finding a mate.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of Christian liberty here, and it's not all going to look alike. You know, I remember when we were young and we heard these stories about, people that would, where one family would get together with the other family.
Right.
But, you know, that's not very realistic if you don't have 16-year-olds. What do you, when they're 25, they're 27, they've got their own careers.
They may not even live in the same town.
You know, even if they yeah. do, they've got their own lives and it's on a different schedule than yours is. You know, those, it's like all those things that we're talking about courtship, this specific restrictive kind
yeah.
of courtship.
Right.
It all assumed that the young people involved were 17 or 18.
It's that magnet thing, remember? Because if yeah. we bring them together, they're going to, ooh, it's going to happen right away.
And but instead, we're looking at 27-year-olds, 33-year-olds, you know, that are not yet married. Should they not be treated as adults? Yeah, you know, I think about the ones that I know. They're godly Christians.
Yeah.
They're leaders in their church. Yeah. They're concerned about following Christ.
Yeah.
And yet, I hear people acting like it'd be some kind of sin for them to have a private conversation at a coffee shop in public. I said that to
yeah.
someone
yeah.
recently, and they said, I don't think that would be wise. I said, why not?
Why not? Yes.
You know,
indeed.
It doesn't have to all look the same. Scripture
no.
gives us no definite pattern that we have to follow. It gives us these principles.
Yeah.
Those principles can be carried out in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I think part of the problem might be that some of these parents that are putting these very restrictive expectations on their kids
yeah.
were not Christians when they were singles.
And they don't know what a Christian relationship between two unmarried people can look like. They've never experienced that
because,
themselves.
Because, you know, you and I were both Christians in college.
Yeah.
And we had lots of friends and different kinds of relationships
yeah.
among the Christian community in college.
Right.
And there wasn't any sin.
No. And see, in that community, the concept of dating meant you would invite somebody from your Bible study to go to a movie on Thursday night or something, or you'd go out for pizza together, or you just, you know, it was casual. It was fun. You know, it was innocent. It was not meant to be a lead up to try to trap one another into a compromising situation. But
no,
rather to say it was, yeah, we were trying to get to know each other and to have some conversation and sort of understand what kind of personality I'm looking at across the table there and start to form some opinions. Is this the kind of person that I'd like to marry? Is this the kind of person that I think would be happy with me?
And we all act like Christians.
And well, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? We should be always acting like Christians.
You
what
know,
a concept.
If our adult kids are acting like Christians, I don't think it matters
mm-hmm.
whether they get to know each other
mm-hmm.
in my house mm-hmm. or at a coffee shop or at a church event mm-hmm. or at a friend's house, you
yeah.
know, where they're having a get-together of friends. I don't think it matters. And I think we've done the next generation a real disservice to make them feel like there was only one way, and that a nearly impossible way.
Well, unfortunately, some of the background mentality, I think, in the courtship teaching almost harkens back to an era when everybody, all of the young women were expected to be staying at home because they were going to get married when they were 20 or 21 anyway, and the guys were all going into their father's business, or they were staying home to work on the farm, and so you had very static communities of people. You know, you saw the same families in church in your town all the time, and it wasn't a society like modern society where people are living in different places, working in different schedules. They're not all together around the dinner table every night together, and so the way that they meet one another and the way that they pursue a better understanding, familiarity with one another, has changed.
So let's talk just a minute. I know we're running out of time. Let's talk just a minute about several young people that I talked to, mm-hmm. I've talked to, have said, mm-hmm. well, I can't start up a conversation with that girl until I talk to her father.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I think one of the things that made our relationship different from other people that we grew up with maybe was that we did come to it. We had a friendship. And then we made a very intentional choice to start asking ourselves, is this going to lead to marriage? Are we really suitable as a potential married couple? And so we were intentional about it. But that wasn't how we became friends. That wasn't where we started from. That was when we had been friends for a couple of years and realized, hey, this is really a deepening friendship. We need to ask ourselves, what direction are we going with it?
Right.
And that wasn't like the first time we ever met, the first time we ever discussed, you know, we met each other's parents several months after we met one another. And it was just a matter of,
this is my friend Hal.
Oh, hey, this is my friend Melanie. And so, you know, yeah.
I think that we're putting too restrictive rules on the young people again, mm-hmm. when we expect a young man to declare his intentions before he even finds out if the girl is a suitable person to pursue.
Or if she even likes him.
If she even likes him, or even if she knows the Lord, you know, let's spend some time talking.
Right.
When should he approach his dad? Yeah. If he's going to go try to win that girl's heart, he needs to get to know her father.
Yeah.
And her mother and her family.
Well, and you know, honestly, it's a wise thing to get to know the family, because you know what? The person that you're looking at there, that you may be considering as a marriage partner, one day is likely going to look like her mother. I mean, in her personality, in the way she carries herself, in the way that she responds to things, because that's the person who raised her. And the guy that you're looking at is probably going to be somewhat like his father, because that's the man who raised him, who's been his example. So it's good to get to know the larger family.
You know, we've not had to have a lot of rules with, we have four adult children.
Yeah.
And we've had several relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one married son.
Yeah.
We've had several different relationships with our that our kids have been in.
Yeah.
We have not had to have a lot of rules for them.
Right.
Because we have a lot of relationship with them.
We have a lot of relationship.
Yes. That we have a lot of relationship with mm-hmm. our sons. That they are automatically coming to us and talking to us when they notice a girl they're interested. They're like, yeah. Hey, Mom, can I talk to you about this?
What do you think of this person? Yeah.
Yeah, Dad. I need some advice. You know, they're seeking out our advice.
Not to say, not looking for directions. We're not giving them orders.
No.
But we have given them the freedom as they've grown up to say, hey, you know, you need to make decisions for yourself, and we'll help advise you as you make those decisions.
We give them counsel.
Right.
And my advice to the parents out there
mm-hmm.
is that if you want this process to, if you want to be hands-on in this process and to know what's going on and to be able to give advice,
mm-hmm.
work on your relationship with your kids more than you work on your rules.
That is good advice all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Because, you know, that's the thing. How did Jesus make disciples? It wasn't that he gave them a rule book. It was that Jesus lived with them. And he walked with the Lord and explained what he was doing and talked to them and, you know, challenged them, encouraged them to step out, guided them. But he didn't, you know, he didn't give them a checklist and say, yeah. this is what you need to do to qualify for disciple first class.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think that's good advice all around as we walk through this discipleship journey with our families.
All that to say, this is a matter with a lot more Christian liberty than has recently been taught.
Yeah.
And we can't bind you where the Word of God doesn't bind you. Follow the commandments of Scripture. Stay pure. Do what's right. Act like a Christian. Honor your parents. And you know what?
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah. And you know what? If that takes a form that doesn't look remarkably different than a dating relationship that just doesn't have sin, okay, that's fine. If it's something that's more structured and you do want to have detailed conversations and introductions with parents on both sides and have day-to-day involvement with them, that's fine too.
That's fine.
It's just that neither one nor the other is commanded. And so we're not bound to that. We seek out what we think is pleasing to the Lord in our personal situation and go in that direction. Stay out of sin.
Yes.
Flee immorality. Don't dishonor your parents. Don't cut your family out of the equation. But you know what? Be friends first. And just maybe as a matter of wisdom, it's a good idea to wait on this deeper friendship thing until you're close to a time when you could really be an independent adult. You know, are you going to be able to support a family anytime soon? You probably don't want to be courting a girl when you're 14. That doesn't work too well nowadays.
No, it doesn't.
But if you're 18 or 20 or 22 and you have a good prospect of a job in the near future or whatever, that changes the picture. Okay. So, well, look, I think we need to wrap this up. We could go on and on and on about this, but that was kind of the overview that we wanted to talk about here.
If you want more details on our thoughts about this, we've got a workshop on our website called Dating, Courtship, and All That. We go into pretty extensive detail.
Right.
You can download it for $4. Also, if you are starting a relationship and you're thinking, man, I just don't even know how to go from here, what to talk about, we have an app that will give you conversation starters.
Yes, there's an app for that. Of course there is. We call it More Than Friends. It's morethanfriends.io. It's a free app. And the way this thing works is it's got a great big long list of questions, discussion starters that are all graded for what level of relationship you're in. If you're just getting to be friends, if you are on the edge of engagement, if it's, you know, there's several different stages. And when you sign in on your account there, it just puts you into the segment of the list where you say that you are. And the nice thing about it is you can have those hard conversation, ask the uncomfortable questions with 42% less awkwardness because, hey, the app brought it up. It wasn't your idea. And so check that out, morethanfriends.io.
All right. We will talk to you later. If you are shopping for your family, don't forget to check us out because it keeps our ministry going.
And where should they be checking?
RaisingRealMen.com/shop.
Yep.
And if you want to keep this podcast going, support us on Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/HalandMelanie.
Okay. So until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.